Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, October 6th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the Cadillac tax on health care, and the legislature puts the brakes on a land deal. Most of the major provisions of the Affordable Care Act are already in effect, but there's still a big one to come. Starting in 2018, the so-called Cadillac tax will impose a heavy financial penalty on employer health plans the government says are too generous. 5 years after the ACA became law, debate still rages about whether the tax will do more harm than good. Mark Zedeklik has the story.
The Cadillac tax is intended to rein in health care inflation, one of the key goals of the Affordable Care Act. Former Senator Jeff Bingaman, a Democrat from New Mexico, was among the six senators in a working group who came up with the idea.
It served a couple of three purposes.
One of those purposes was to provide an alternative to the highly unpopular idea of limiting the corporate tax deduction for providing health benefits. More than half of Americans get health insurance through their employer. Bingaman says the thinking was that a hefty 40% tax on expensive health plans would make employers much more demanding shoppers. Insurers and providers would have strong incentives to hold down prices.
I think we saw it as a way to keep the cost of health care from continuing to grow at the rate that it had been growing.
But the working group also expected companies would pay the tax, making it an important source of revenue to pay for consumer insurance subsidies. The Congressional Budget Office estimates the tax will produce several revenue streams totaling $87 billion in its first 7 years. Some consulting groups, including the Advisory Board and Towers Watson, say as many as half of all employer health plans are on track to trigger the tax. But Elise Gould of the left-leaning Economic Policy Institute says most companies will avoid the tax by spending less on their health plans.
Health insurance providers are going to provide plans that are cheaper, and all else equal, cheaper plans are thinner plans, which means that consumers are going to have to pay more out of pocket.
Democratic Congressman Joe Courtney of Connecticut is worried that will add to the difficulty many Americans already have paying medical expenses now that high deductible health plans are commonplace.
Trying to control health care costs by, really sharply increasing people's out-of-pocket costs is not good health policy because it discourages people from getting care that they need.
A few years ago, Courtney successfully passed legislation delaying the Cadillac tax until 2018. He's now trying to scrap it altogether and says lawmakers on both sides of the aisle feel the same, even though his bill would add to the budget deficit.
The opposition is really grown like wildfire. I dropped my bill back in February with a handful of co-sponsors. We're up to 145.
Business groups, including many healthcare companies and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, support repealing the tax, as do many national unions. Henry Aaron of the Brookings Institution is among 100 economists who signed a letter urging lawmakers not to repeal the tax. Aaron says giving workers less expensive plans that require them to pay for more of their care will reduce wasteful health care spending.
You're going to be a little more price sensitive when you use health care services. I could tell you stories about my own experience where doctors were quite explicit in saying, well, are you covered for insurance on this? If so, let's do it. I'm not sure it's going to make any difference in your treatment, but you'll feel better.
Aaron also says fewer doctor visits and fewer procedures will reduce spending on healthcare administration. The Congressional Research Service estimates the Cadillac tax could cut annual U.S. health spending by 3 to 4%. That's as much as $60 billion by 2024. Economist Jared Bernstein, who was an administration advisor when the ACA was written and passed, thinks the threat of the Cadillac tax is being exaggerated.
I don't think that it's going to be nearly as biting as lots of people claim.
Bernstein argues that even if a health plan triggers the Cadillac tax, the tab will not necessarily be crippling. He points out that only the amount above a certain threshold is taxed.
So the issue isn't how many plans are over the threshold, it's how much of the plan's costs are over the threshold. And if you look at that, you get a much smaller number.
Elise Gould of the Economic Policy Institute says if the goal is to bring down the cost of health care, policymakers should tackle cost head on.
To make sure that people have access to care when they need it, and have better control over some of the most expensive cost drivers in our system. For instance, people with chronic conditions.
Like asthma and diabetes. Gould says removing financial barriers that can impede care for those conditions can also yield savings by preventing the need for intensive and expensive care in the long run. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A request from the White Earth Nation in northern Minnesota to buy land with state legacy amendment funds is sparking claims of discrimination. The $2 million request was approved last year by the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, but a state house committee stripped it from legislation. White Earth is bringing the project back again, and it will be considered this week by the Lessard Sams Council. Dan Gunderson has more.
The land at the center of this dispute is about a half hour west of Itasca State Park. There are several pieces of land totaling about 2,000 acres. The land is owned by Potlatch Corporation. It's a mix of forest, open grassland, and water. It's nearly surrounded by state wildlife management areas.
Here, this would be the lay of the land here. So this is all state here, and inside the black would be is the Potlatch lands.
The guy holding the map is Chris Knopp.
With a nonprofit organization, the Indian Land Tenure Foundation, we work with American Indian tribes across the country to help recover traditional lands.
Knopp leads the way down a lightly traveled trail across a grassland surrounded by pines, poplar, and aspen. He carefully crosses the Wild Rice River on an abandoned beaver dam and stands on the bank. Knopp says protecting this land from development will help protect water and wildlife. White Earth is concerned about protecting water flowing into nearby Lower Rice Lake, a prolific wild rice lake where tribal members harvest thousands of pounds of rice every fall.
Looking at the 2,034 acres, the project stands on its own for its conservation merits, and that's really got to be the focus of the Outdoor Heritage Fund and the legislators as well.
White Earth has a purchase agreement with Potlatch. Last year, the project was approved by the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council and was included in a list of projects sent to the legislature. But a House committee stripped the project from the bill. Republican Representative Steve Green of Fauston authored the amendment to remove the project. He said the land sale would hurt Clearwater County by taking land off the property tax rolls. Representative Green didn't respond to interview requests. White Earth Land Acquisition Manager Lorena Vogt says the land has an annual property tax of about $15,000, but she points out many other projects that were approved won't pay property taxes either. Vogt thinks this isn't about taxes, but rather the elephant in the room, race.
Let's take the race element out of it. Let's take the native zoning property out of it. I'd like for everyone involved to look at not who's owning the property, just, you know, what will this do for conservation?
Ownership of the land is an issue for Republican State Representative Denny McNamara. McNamara is on the Outdoor Heritage Council, which approved the project last year. He supported the White Earth Project, but only if the state held title to the land. McNamara also chairs the House committee that removed the White Earth Project last year, after lawmakers raised concerns about lost property taxes. He says it's a good project, but the land must be owned by the state.
That's state money collected by the state of Minnesota, and I believe in the area of the habitat, if we're going to buy land, it's best owned by the state of Minnesota.
The White Earth land would be open for public use, much like state wildlife management areas. McNamara says he's okay with money going to federal projects and some county projects. But in this case, he says the best option is to give the money to the Minnesota DNR and tell the agency to add the land to nearby wildlife management areas.
I mean, if you were an objective person looking at this and said, hey, Potlatch wants to sell this land to somebody that's going to preserve it, have it for habitat, ricing, and birding, and berry picking, and say, well, wow, we got a WMA on three sides already. That, I think, is the logical answer.
I don't see where there's a concern. It's ridiculous.
Susan Olson is a member of the Outdoor Heritage Council. She supported the White Earth Project last year and will vote for it again this year. She calls concerns about property taxes and non-state land ownership red herrings.
If you put anybody else's name on this, everybody would be like, oh my God, that's the best project ever. But it's all about who's asking for the money. It's great for habitat. It's great for the critters. It's great for the land. What it's not great for is a bunch of old white guys who don't like Indian tribes. And that makes me angry. And that's wrong.
Representative McNamara says he's not discriminating against anyone. He's trying to properly manage taxpayer money. White Earth Land Acquisition Manager Lorena Vogt says she hopes state lawmakers will recognize White Earth has the resources to do a good job of managing and protecting the land.
If we can work together and we all pitch in and do our part, it will be more successful. You know, we have the resources and we're offering them out. We're stretching out our hand and saying, we have this and we want to help because we have the same goals.
Vogt says she's hopeful the project will be funded this year. If not, she says White Earth will bring it back again next year. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News on the White Earth Reservation.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.